are looking forward to our preacher's return. You pray for him. He's going to be on a red eye tonight. Amen. Coming back. So we'll get him in the morning. Psalm 119. Pastor Chad Stanley was with us yesterday and was preaching in chapel. He brought back our men's group. I told him he could keep them, but I didn't really tell him that. I asked him if he'd bring them back. We kind of use them a little bit, amen, and thank God for them. And I hope you will be praying about this hurricane. Try not to pray it on somebody else, amen. Be specific. Pray it out into the ocean if you're going to pray. And it looks like there's some real high pressure issues, but I know one that can take care of all the pressure in the world, amen. And he can overcome all those things, and he can change those things and take care of it. But Brother Chad preached on the power of God in the life of a Christian. And really, he spoke and didn't take a lot of time about this, but a lot of times, you know, we have all the power of God available to every one of us as a Christian and have the power of God in our lives. But a lot of times we forfeit the power of God in our lives because of sin, just things that happen. We live in the nasty now and now of this world. And a lot of times we will make excuses because of the circumstances around us. John R. Rice would always say, he asked the man, "How you doing, preacher?" And shook a man's hand, and the man said, "Well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty terrible." And he said, "Well, what are you doing down there?" And the blessings of the Christian life is to know God and to know Him and to be able to walk with Him daily and to live above the world's circumstances, to live above the simple day and day and having a bad day, but to live on the top side of that thing and to be redeemed and to be able to just walk and talk and know that we know and be able to be a witness to others and really to be even keel. The world has that rat race, that roller coaster, and we have the same things going in our lives, but we don't have to have those up and downs the way the world does. We can have an even keel Christian life, still dealing with the problems, but we have someone in our lives that the world doesn't have. We have someone who we can look to for help. Even when there's no help around, there's still a God in heaven who knows exactly where I am. And I'm right. If I'm right in the smack dab in the middle of His will, then I just am looking for Him to step in and handle the situation. Amen. You ever had a bad day where your car blew a tire? Amen. You ever had a day where your car blew up? Amen. Amen. Just had a bad day. And the blessing of living on the top side of your circumstances and having some of the things that we're going to talk about is just being able to go, "God, your car just blew a tire," because it's already His. It's surrendered to Him. And now instead of being my problem, it's His problem. And I'm going to watch how He takes care of His car because I gave it to Him a long time ago. Amen. When something happens, and especially in our lives, when we deal with things like that, when we take everything in our own person, we personally are offended. But again, it's better when we walk with Him and we've surrendered everything to Him. And again, not that we don't care about our things that God blesses us with, but that we can live above our circumstances because He owns it. He owns it all. Amen. And so here in Psalms 119, this is a familiar area of Scripture. I want to try to teach tonight. I tried to come down to the floor and, you know, because again, I don't mean I won't run around a little bit, but I hope tonight I can spend a little bit of time just trying to be a little bit more on the teaching side of this thing and just try to help you. I want to give you five things here from the Scripture, five steps to being clean. I believe that one of the greatest needs of our day, one of the greatest needs that's ever been in Christianity is Christians living righteously, living clean and holy lives before the Lord Jesus Christ. If a church hopes to be blessed by God, it needs to have clean people in that church. If we want to live and we want to be honored and praised, and I mean, again, by our peers, I'm talking about the world, then we need to live a clean life. If we hope to be the witness that we ought to be, then we need to live holy and clean lives before the Lord. And again, you say, "Well, you're going to make it too easy." Listen, I'm here to tell you, everything according to the Lord, it's pretty much boiled down to pretty easy steps. It's not, you know, we make it harder than it is, people. I'm just going to tell you, it's just some simple steps, but we got to make the steps in the right direction. God didn't leave us, we left Him. Amen. And He's waiting and He's wanting and He's right there. Just like that, we've preached on the prodigal son. He's always ready to receive us back when we've left Him. But again, we need to realize that's one of the first things that we have to do. But here, let's pray, and we'll dive into the chapter and just give you some things. And then I have a second half. That, you know, if I told you there were 10 points to the message, it would scare you, so I won't tell you that, okay? Here we go. Let's pray together, all right? Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I pray that this simple thing that you've given me tonight, I can, dear God, I can kind of, what you've laid on my heart, what you've just given me to preach tonight, dear God, I pray that you'd be with us. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd fill me with your spirit. Dear God, that you'd preach through me. You let me be your messenger boy and just deliver the simple truths that are found in your word. I pray that, Holy Spirit of God, that you would stay with these believers, and I believe that they would take the truths. And that's my will, my want, and I pray it's your will, dear God, tonight to stick with these believers and help them complete your will for their lives and make these steps forward in their Christian life. We'll pray for it, ask you for it. Pray that you'll just bless it. Help us, God, as we, again tonight, we have so many people on our prayer list. Dear God, I think about Tim and Marissa as you put them on my heart tonight. I pray for them again. I ask you, dear God, tonight to just continue to touch her body and heal her. I pray you be with them and calm their fears and in their life, dear God, with being separate, having to travel so much where the baby is. And I pray you'd be with them and bless them tonight as he preaches as Pastor Manus tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 5 steps to being clean. Look at it with me in 119 of Psalms in the ninth verse, not in the first verse. This, if you know the chapter, all this chapter speaking about the Word of God, and again, a song about the Word of God. But I want to read a very familiar passage with me, and you may think this is too simple or you've heard it too many times before, but let's just boil it down and let's get through the first part so that I can deliver the second part, all right? In verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Now, I want to go back and look at the very first verses. And if you're taking notes tonight, if you want to take notes on the 5 steps that you need to make to being clean in the Christian life, and can I just say this? It's a good thing for us to have these things down and to revisit some of this scripture, because it's not like this is only going to have to happen to us once in our life. As a boy, my mom would bring me in the house and wash me up. And sometimes, I think Pastor Carter told a story about Georgia, something like this. But I remember my mom washing me up for church and cleaning me up and saying, "Now stay clean." And that ain't how it worked. Amen. And sometimes, I've worked with my dad a lot. And my dad is a mechanic by trade. And my dad could go and change oil. And he could come out and he'd wipe his hands off. And I'd come out and I needed new clothes and I needed a new outfit and I needed to wash all of me. And he'd say, "How did you get that everywhere?" Because he was skilled and he could just get it on his hands. But as a Christian life, I'm just going to tell you, every time I do work, every time I get out and do some things, I typically find the dirt. And sometimes as Christians, when we get out, I believe as we mature and we grow better at some things and we learn what our besetting sins are and some things that just naturally trip us up, some of those things we get better at and we don't get nowhere near as dirty, or maybe we don't have to go through these steps, but these are going to be constant for us. I hope that nobody sitting in the room tonight thinks that they don't need these 5 steps, because God put them in His Word for you and I. He didn't just put them there for me or for one of these college students. He put it in there for every one of us. The first thing that he begs us to do here, or really here as the presenting of it, is wherewithal, all right, shall a young man cleanse his way. Now, young ladies, please understand, it's good. You ought to be glad and say amen that he's sucker punching the young men here, but this is for all of us. All right, now, young men, you ought to take heed and understand that God is speaking directly to you, and you might need to check up on this a lot more than a young lady does. I believe that there are some areas of your life that to be right with God, to be the leader that you ought to be, you ought to be keeping short accounts with a holy God, to be the man that you ought to be. All right? Be honest with yourself. I found that men, because I are one, we're prideful, are we not, at our best? And we often measure ourselves a lot higher than we ought to measure ourselves. Very often. Amen? And I'll just say this. You're better off humbling yourself than letting God humble you. You're better off realizing that you need God and that you need Him to clean you up rather than waiting until God humbles you. And a lot of times He doesn't do it in private. He'll do it in public. So you're better off deciding, hey, you know what? I'm going to be real with myself. We're real good as a society about lying to ourselves. We're real good about watching reality TV shows that could be no farther from the truth. There's no reality in them, okay? It's a show, folks, at best. I just want you to see that because here he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So the first thing that I see that I would say is first and foremost is obedience to the word of God. Just, I mean, really being obedient. When the word of God tells me something, the best way for me to clean my way, a young man, an old man, and a young lady, an old lady, it doesn't matter who you are, middle-aged, I'm going to put myself in there. Wherever you land, you need to mark it that the best way for me to clean my way, for my way to be cleansed in this life. And let me just say this, I want my way to be cleansed. I want people to see that, you know, we've worked around some pretty dirty things that go on around here. I've seen some things, and when I see it dirty, I want to clean it up. Just the other day, and I'm gonna tell you my sins, all right? We had we worked camp, and you guys know about camp, and man, we had a good time. And I told those kids, boy, you know, if you want to get some extra points, you can bribe Brother Parsons. I'm able to be bribed. And bring me the Coca-Cola. My favorite is Dr. Pepper. And some of them, you know, when they ran out of that, we had a good time with it. I wasn't trying to get all the things I could get. And sometimes I said, whoa, you know, give it to one of these other guys and we'll give you points. But we enjoyed and had a good time with it. But they brought me some Klondike bars. Somebody from somewhere brought them to me. And they gave them to me. My wife took them to the cabin that we stay in out there. And we had a little mini fridge. And she put those in the freezer. And after we got done with, we didn't remember they were in there. And Brother Pitts shuts the power off to save money. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? That's a good thing to do. Not when there's Klondike bars in the mini fridge. Amen. Well, we have been busy. And we went and got it the other day. Those were not Klondike bars anymore. And what was crawling through those Klondike bars were not Klondike bar either. I hope they weren't in there at least when they would have been. But you know, we had to clean that thing. I didn't want to put anything else that was clean inside of that refrigerator. And it made me think about this, and I just thought, you know, sometimes the first and the simplest thing is to just simply be obedient. Now, we all know that, and we understand that God's word is perfect. God's word is, I mean, it draws the line, and we ought to walk that line. It ought to be the way we live our lives. But we, again, I think constantly we need to be reminded to be just simply obedient to God's word. When God's word says something, it's it. It's the line. It's not, we don't need to add thought to it. We don't need to try to gauge it. Was God right on this? You know, I mean, again, you know, listen, doesn't that sound pretty liberal? Like some people down the street, if we were to go on and say, well, you know, maybe God didn't meet it that way for our day. You know, maybe like God didn't foresee where we were going to be right now in our age with our president, with all the things going on. Can I just say we need to be obedient to God's word? I mean, simply, truly, and just, I mean, wholly. He goes on to say that. I mean, I can't even hardly hold back from point two. He goes on, not just does he say we need to take heed thereto. It's not just an obedience, but it's doing. See, God's word is not a God's word of just abstaining things, but things of action, things we need to be doing and things that we need to put into our lives. And there's also things to take out, but it's a do obedience, not a
passive obedience, like some of us like to think it is. And he goes on in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let me just say this, beyond obedience, it's not just obedience. This is complete surrender to God's will, way, and work in my life. This is beyond. If I'm going to be truly cleansed, then sometimes I don't even know the depths or the problems or who I'm not even honest with who I really am. And I need God to reveal to me. And the only way I can do that is to go past obedience or simple obedience and completely surrender myself to God's will, His way, and His work in my life. And sometimes we don't, that's easy to say, but it's so much harder to do. See, now some people think surrender, complete surrender, is in His work or His will. But see, this is not an outward thing in ministry. We're talking about you getting clean, not about your bus ministry or your Sunday school class. We're talking about you getting clean for your bus route or your Sunday school class or your day school class or whatever it is that you do in your life. This is about me completely surrendering and saying, God, clean me up. Reveal to me. Show me what's in my way that's not clean. Show me what in my work is not clean. Show me about what's in my mind that's not clean. Can I just say this? About my wants that aren't clean. That's complete surrender. God, everything that I have is yours. Purge it. Search it. Find the things that are and get it out of here. And I love this. The writer of the psalm goes on to say this, and under the inspiration of God, but now he is begging. He has said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I'm looking for this, God. I want to be clean, but don't let me wander. See, he realizes that very as quick as we can make a complete surrender, that we can begin to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How many of us, from minute to minute, in church, in a service like this, to walk an aisle and completely surrender, but by the time we get to the car, and the car is still on the wrong radio station, and I choose not to touch the dial. No, I was completely surrendered here, but by the time I made it to the car, I took some things back. See, God's already revealed just in very short minutes, by the time maybe I didn't even make it out of the building, some things that He wanted to change in my life. You say, Brother Parsons, what are you talking about, bad music? I'm just here to tell you. Can I just lay it out for you? It's hard to grow and to be what God wants you to be. I can say this from my own experience in growing up and being, I've preached it before and I'll say it again, it's hard to be around bad music of all types. I can go through the genres if you want me to. All right? We live in Polk County, so I'll hit country music right in the eye, okay? I'll punch it in the eye because there's a bunch of us that probably has listened to that in the past, and some of you that probably still drove up with it on your radio tonight. It's hard for us to live the way we ought to when we're listening to people drinking beer, when we're listening to people driving their big pickup trucks and leaving their wife. I'm just here to tell you, I'm not just going to zone that out. Listen, there's a bunch of other stuff. There's some other filth on your radio that I can't even talk about. Let me just say, you cannot be right with God and listen to something that's wrong. Complete surrender goes past this building and past the place of surrender in your classroom or your work for God. It goes all the way through everything that you are, every area of your life. God, help us. We compartmentalize our life and keep these things. God, you can have 90% of my life, but these 10%, this 10% is mine. You can't have it. You can't touch it. You can't get near it. These are mine. And I gave you, look, God, I gave you everything else. God wants all of it. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to completely surrender all we are so that He can have it. He goes on and he doesn't just leave it there. He's fearful that he might wander and he begs God to keep him. And then in number three, he talks about really learning God's word. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He talks as one of us. We carry our, you know, pastor calls it a magic box on our hip. So we can have the Word of God everywhere we go, whip it out when we need it, take it out and scroll through God's Word if we really wanted to. You know, not all of you carry a family Bible like I have, so I can read it up here when I'm walking and stuff. But I think about the writer of this and maybe just having a parchment and not always having it and how important it was to him to memorize the Word of God so that he had some things to hold on to. Do you know, this is something that really I feel like I need to say, because memorization of the Word of God is something that we don't really preach or really do as much as the old timers used to. We do it in our day school. We push it in our Bible college. But really in our normal Christian lives, when was the last time that you memorized a verse just for you? Now, can I say this? The context of the chapter is the Word of God, but the context of this area of this chapter is you getting clean. And it ain't talking about you memorizing the promises of the Bible. This isn't talking about you claiming a promise that we all quote. This isn't talking about a verse that you can share with someone else to get saved. This is you finding a commandment of God or something in the Bible that will help you with your besetting sin. And memorizing it so you've got a roadblock of the Word of God in your life to help you with your sin. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Not so that I can remember your promises, so that I can get through the day, so I can get through all the hard times or get through the circumstances of the day, so that I might not sin against thee. Hey, folks, we need to memorize God's word because it will put hedges in our lives about us. The Holy Spirit of God will reach inside of us and convict us. I've heard people say that I'm not convicted about that. Can I just say it's probably because you don't have Word of God inside of you about that. You haven't really studied the Word of God or memorized the Word of God enough to know that's wrong. God puts it in His Word. He wants more than just obedience. He wants complete surrender. And He doesn't want us just, can I say, this isn't simple memorization. I've been one of those. I've done it before. You've done it before. You teachers know exactly what this is. When I was in school, we called it the flush method. I would memorize it and put it in my head. I would flush it out my arm and onto the paper. And I'd never remember it again. All right? And I'd get my grade and I'd move on. It was funny. I had a Bible college class called Keys to Success. I taught it a couple years ago and just trying to get some things into the students. And I tried to get them to memorize Joshua 1:8. And they took the same verse quiz week after week because I wanted them to be successful. I gave them the same verse. Do you know some of them, the first week, man, they had it. The second week, not so much. The third week, some of them that still thought they had it didn't have it like they thought they did. Why? Because sometimes when we memorize things, we don't really hide them in our heart. We hide them in our head. And they bounce around and they go to a place in a file that we can't pull out. And if we beg the Holy Spirit of God, but you know, I've noticed that there are some verses that change my life that I needed for me. Not for everybody else. And I mean, they have been engrafted in my heart. They're mine. Okay? Now, you can have them too because they can be yours. But there are some things that I put in me, man. They help me. They're foundational truths to my life. And I didn't just hide them in my head. I hid them in my heart so that I could live and go and believe and stay in the way and try to stay in a clean way. He goes on. He says, you know, God, after all this, I'm going to be obedient. I'm obedient to all the truth and the commandments and all the rules that I already know. I'm going to completely surrender to you, God. I'm going to start hiding these things in my heart. Now he says, I need to learn. I need you to teach me. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. The word statutes, I studied it, and I really, again, tonight, I don't, for the time's sake, I won't go into all that, but I just want to say this. This commandments, laws, all the things, statutes is the most personal word that's used in this chapter for God's rules. Personal, I mean, like personal commandment from God for you. I mean, it's like a proclamation from a king, lord, to about a person. This statute, that's what it means. And he's saying, teach me. You built me. You made me. You know my weaknesses. You know my faults. You know my failings. You know exactly who I am, God. Teach me what I need to know to keep me clean. Because my preacher could get up and preach about what he did to get him clean. And somebody else could come in and preach about what he thinks it is. But God, I need you to teach me. You know me. You can search my heart. You can search my head. You can search everything about me. You know me. God, teach me thy statutes. Can I just tell you tonight, listen, we have got to get real with who we are. Who do you think you're kidding? Your kids know who you are. Don't think you're pulling the wool over their eyes. They know exactly where your walk is with God. They know exactly where your talk is with God. They know exactly how far and how surrendered you really are. And it's going to show up in their lives. You say, Brother Parsons, you think, no, I'm going to tell you, sometimes they don't always make, they don't make, it's not, again, I realize they make their own decisions, but I'm just telling you right now, you're not fooling anybody. You may fool Brother Parsons and a preacher. You may fool your Sunday school superintendent. But the people that live with you and work around you, they know exactly who you are. Can I just say, let God teach you some things. Go to God. You know, there's so many of us. Before, what did God's people do before there was YouTube? What did God's people do before there was an internet? What did God's people do before there was this full garbage expansion of goo out there for us to try to learn from? They went to a holy God. And if there's one place I could say is unholy, it's YouTube. If there's another place I could say Facebook. I could name a bunch of things that I don't think are holy and places that I should go and say, teach me thy statutes. Hey, there's a God in heaven who's been looking for a long time for you to show up in his presence, completely surrendered, and say, God, teach me what I need to learn to be as holy as I can be, as holy as you want me to be. Say, Brother Parsons, that's really something God wants out of you. God wants you to live close to him. God wants you to realize his power. God really wants to know. And then, boy, when we reach that, you know what we want to do? We want to skip to the end. Because the end of this thing, the five steps, the fifth steps, he goes on and says, he goes, hey, with thy lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Hey, when I learn some things, I'm supposed to share them. I'm supposed to warn people about a devil's hell. I'm supposed to tell them, don't you drink that. That's not good for you. I ought to get out there and tell, God is going to judge sin. God's going to judge you for that. Hey, stay away from that. Hey, you don't do that. Once I've learned what I ought to stay away from, and I've kind of come to a place where I'm with complete surrender, I've gotten cleaned up, the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me is going to get some preach built up in me, and I am going to declare his judgments because I know him. I've hid him in my heart. Hey, you can't help but do that. But boy, we ought to keep in this process of making those steps, because you know what happens if we don't? We'll settle in on just telling everybody else what his judgments are. We live all our lives around a judgment God, and I'm going to tell you, that makes judgmental people. Can I tell you? You say, well, Brother Parsons, I see this in the scripture. It should be good for me to tell everyone where they're wrong. That would be fine if you were right all the time. But you know what? I've realized, and what was a blessing to me, after I went through this, can I just, again, I got 10 minutes. I'm going to share. Would you look? I didn't finish reading there where we are at now. Because along with five steps to get clean, I found five fruits of people that were clean. Right behind it. I mean, pictures of people that have applied this to their lives. I mean, a Christian that is owning and is clean and the way they're living, there's going to be five fruits of that in their life, and it sure isn't going to be a judgmental. He said, I will declare thy judgments. But that's not what people are going to see in your life. He goes on, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Do you know a person that is cleaned up and walking with God is just going to be somebody that's praising the Lord for what he's done in their life? I mean, they're going to be somebody who's praising God, rejoicing. Woo! Man, it's good. Amen! That's good. Church day. Woo, it's raining. I get to go to church still. Amen. Singing in the rain. Amen. Rejoicing in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Listen. If you wanted, and I love how the Word of God is very specific. If you were like, well, I'm rejoicing. Are you rejoicing just like you won the lottery? I don't think so. Think about how we ought to be as Christians. God says here that if we really get cleaned up, we are going to be rejoicing in ourselves as someone who has all riches. I mean, somebody that doesn't have any cares in this life about financial worries. We're just going to rejoice in the life that God has given us, that we are here and we're in it. And then he goes on and he says, then he starts to say some I wills. Isn't that great? I will meditate in thy precepts. It means, listen, God, I've gotten cleaned up, but I'm going to meditate on the things that got me here. These things that helped me get right, I'm going to keep them ever before me. I'm going to be meditating in God's Word day and night. I'm going to be thinking about how God cleaned me up, not too prideful and saying, look at me. I'm the cleanest person in the building. But rejoicing in where God brought me from and meditating on what got me there so I don't ever go back again. Then he goes on. And have respect unto thy ways. Do you know what? This is something, and most of you understand, and I hope that you guys don't take this too personal, all right? I don't want the teenagers at all. I know that people down your generation, you know, millennials and things all the time, but, you know, one of the great, I know some generations that have come before you, and they didn't have it all right either, okay? Let me just say this, but one of the greatest things that we have in our generations, even that are alive today, I'll say it that way so I won't offend anybody, is respect. All right? Respect. Both for other human beings. If you can't respect the person you can see, then how are you going to respect the person that you can't see? If you can't respect the rules of people that you can see, how can you respect the rules of a God that you can't see? There is a respect problem that we have in our lives. We have a real problem with authority. It's taught by the world. You're taught to, again, you step out of this place and you get on YouTube, not in the church and not in the book, but from YouTube and every other, I would say any, okay, university that is not Bible-oriented with a King James Bible, and they are going to teach you to question everything. That there are no fixed points, fixed rules. It's all up to you. Question it all. Question everything. And that is not what the book teaches. And especially not to question Him. Not to question God. Not to question the rule book, not to question the rule maker, not to question all the. Can I just say tonight, we've got to get back to a place where we have a reverential respect for an almighty God and His holiness. And God help us that we would walk into His house and act like we're holy and put on like we're holy and try to preach like we're holy and try to go in our Sunday school to teach and act like we're holy and walk inside of, again, like a bus route and act like we're holy when we just did something the day before that was wicked. We pulled in the parking lot listening to something that was wicked. Can I just say, tonight, we need to stop playing around with God's holiness and respect Him like we ought to. I grew up in a day and age and in a church that people respected God and they dressed up when they came to church. My preacher used to say, you wouldn't go see the president wearing that. And why did you show up in church looking like that? Hey, I'm for you coming straight from work to this place if that's what you have to do. I'm not after anybody or saying if you're wearing the best you got, please don't feel like somebody's putting you down. But there are some people, they just come in comfortable because they have a lack of respect for an almighty God. I'm going to show that I have respect for God. If you're clean and you're walking with Him and you're cleaned up, you're going to come in with the house of God with respect in words and your deeds and the way you looked. He says, the writer says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. See, the things that we felt were the weakest points we had in the flesh, God made specific things to help correct those areas, those statutes God laid out for us, those specific things that I can take and say, these are just for me. Now these become the things that I live in daily and I delight in them. Those are marks that I hit every day and I put before my eyes and areas where it used to be, this was an area of my life that I tripped up. But these aren't God's commandments. They're His statutes. They're personally for me. And I get to walk in them every day. And when I get to get inside God's way, I can skip and go, whew, these are just for me. God hedged me in. This is my way. You didn't have trouble with this. These aren't special to you. These were just for me. God made them for me, and I get to delight in His goodness that He hedged me in, and He gave me rules so I'm not off track and I'm not unclean. And then, oh, Brother Parsons, I'd never do this. I will not forget thy word. When we're talking about the fruits of a clean person, have you gone Sunday to Sunday without that book? The fruit of a clean person is they stay in that thing. Talking about respecting a holy God, I respect His word. I'm not talking about where you put it or how many things you stack on top of it, but what it is and what it is to me. I will not forget thy word. It's so easy for us. I'm not trying to be mean or mean-spirited. Listen, I think we ought to be clean. I believe we serve a holy God that wants us to be clean. And the only way, the very first step, is to take heed unto thy word. And one of the fruits of a person that's living in God's will and in His way and showing the fruits of being clean is he's never forgetting God's word. He can't pass it up. He can't skip over it. Hey, when we're in our life, you want to take a good measure of where you are in a Christian life? Well, when was the last time you forgot it? You just went through a day and just didn't even think about the Word of God. Just got busy. You say it's not a sin to be busy. No, it's not. I'm busy. I'm preaching at me. I want to be clean, folks. I think we have a church of people that want to be clean. But if I'm going to exude the fruits of a person that's clean, this is going to be a daily standard in my life. Not reading it cover to cover, but I'm going to be in it. And I'm not going to forget that it exists and go through my day without it. Even the writer said, think about this. Even if you got busy and you didn't have a leather-bound copy of the Word of God with you, okay? Focus in with me. When was the last time you completely forgot it to a place where you didn't even have anything to meditate on from yesterday? Or God, the Holy Spirit of God, you were quenching His Spirit inside of you where He couldn't even recall the things that you need to meditate on. The fruits of the Spirit they're evident, they're there. But there's also some fruits that he shows us in the chapter of those that are clean. Then we can show up the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Hey, I love you. Hope you know that. Not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you, to you. I are one of us. We ought to listen. I want more than anything for us to have clean vessels to be used of God in this place. And if God spoke to your heart tonight, boy, I pray. Listen, we're not going to have an open invitation tonight, but I want this for you to make those steps in your life. I want you to see that fruit show up in your life and just realize how true the book is and then continue to make those steps to keep it right. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for your book and your word, and I thank you for my pastor in this place. And I pray, God, that we'd clean up and we'd follow you and we'd see the fruits of a clean vessel in our lives. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We having choir practice? All right.